Welcome to today's Tivoli Talk, IBM Maximo 7.1.1 for Oil and Gas Conference Call. All lines will be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Bill Ely. Sir, you may begin.
Hello to everyone. I guess good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're calling in. I do hope that you've got the presentation in front of you. If not, you could send me a same-time note, and I could send it to you that way. I'm assuming that the communications for the Tivoli Talks have given you a link to where the presentation is. So I'm going to jump right into it. I don't have too many slides. And at the end of the call, I'd like to open it up. I guess we've got about 13 to 15 folks that are actually on the call. So if we can generate some questions, that'd be great. And this is the same kind of materials that I share with the team when I go around for sales enablement. So I always like to emphasize a couple points, I guess, where we start. One is you guys are my customer. So, you know, if there's some content here that you feel needs to be updated or there's some missing areas, you need some help, some further refinement on business drivers or case studies, that sort of thing, please, please, please let me know this. That way I can reach out, I can update materials. I've got a whole bunch of different types of content. It's hard to sort of assemble everything into this kind of deck, but I certainly want to do my best to make sure you guys are getting the materials to be successful. The second point, I guess, is I just want to thank you guys for attending the call. I'm assuming that each one of you has some level of oil and gas business in your territories for selling Maximo or positioning Maximo. And that's really what this call is going to be about. So if we can, we'll go ahead and move on to the agenda slide. It's slide two. These are the items that I've sort of assembled together in this presentation. Assuming that there are folks out there that have not come from MRO software and may not have a great background or a long history with enterprise asset management, I'll briefly provide a very brief overview, and then we'll dive into some of the details into the oil and gas industry, some of the key business drivers that you guys should focus on and try to tie our solution to. Also, a brief note on, you know, where we fit inside of IBM. I will tell you it's extremely exciting, certainly in my role. I hope you guys see that with some of the Smarter Planet initiatives that are going on. And, you know, asset management is one of the top three offerings that IBM is selling and positioning and talking to clients in the oil and gas industry. So anyone that's selling Maximo or Maximo-related services ought to be keen to that in terms of helping you guys achieve your quotas and your individual goals. And I'll briefly talk about, you know, some of the opportunities, how to identify them, high-level positioning in what we have learned over the past several years, especially with the industry solution, is understanding the audience. Is, you know, this is, you know, presentation skill 101, but it's been very crucial for us to understand this, and I'll elaborate that a little bit more when we get into the slides. I'll talk a bit about pricing. As many of you may or may not know, the pricing is sort of standard across each of the industry solutions. However, the applications in each industry solutions don't necessarily apply to the same audience. Therefore, the pricing model for oil and gas is a bit skewed, and I want to talk to you on this and make sure that you're absolutely comfortable in positioning the industry solution despite you know, concerns you may have on price. I can tell you it is competitively priced. We do win deals over not just the ERP vendors we compete against, but also other best of breeds. And from my experience, pricing should never be an issue. It hasn't been an issue. We just have to get creative in some of the maybe some of the discounting scenarios that we need to talk through. So that's very important. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on that because my experience in the last year is that some sales folks have steered away from positioning the oil and gas industry solution because they're afraid that they wouldn't be price competitive, yet the content in the industry solution is actually what differentiates us from our competition. So it's very important for us to not be afraid. In fact, I challenge anyone in the field that if you're selling to an oil and gas customer, you should not make any distinction between the core Maximo product and the industry solution. Call it Maximo, but sell and talk to the industry solution. Very important thing. And we'll sort of close out on some of the common objections that we see, maybe how to overcome some of them. I've got a few slides in here on how we try to compete against SAP primarily in our industry, although we do see a fair amount of Oracle. I've seen, and I'm not sure if I could say it's actually a trend this past year, but I have seen Oracle and J.D. Edwards get a bit more aggressive against us in the pipeline space. So oil and gas transportation segment is where we're seeing a little bit more Oracle and J.D. Edwards. So the last slide I'm just going to cover, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on the current applications that just come out in December. It is some fantastic applications that, again, can significantly differentiate us over the competition. They focus on some of the key issues that our clients and customers have been asking us for. I will highlight those, but I have an additional presentation that many of you may be aware of, that Russell B. assembles, that basically does a fantastic job of walking through application by application with screenshots, sort of highlighting and talking to those applications. And I guess I'll close out. There's a slide in here for additional support, but myself and some of our sales engineers on a global basis are working to actually do miniature recordings of each application in the industry solution so that sales or sales engineers can download on a just-in-time basis going into a client environment. We're going to try to do the recordings in a way that you could be comfortable actually sharing those recordings with your customer. But this is our efforts and initiative to try to elevate everybody's position on the learning curve as in terms of being able to articulate the value, demonstrate the capabilities that we have. Why don't we go ahead and jump into slide three. Again, it's just a brief description here of enterprise asset management. And, you know, the heritage for an EAM solution comes out of primarily out of maintenance. One of the common acronyms that we used to hear quite frequently, and we still do today, is a CMMS. It's a computerized maintenance management system. And the real difference between EAM and CMMS, I guess from my perspective, is that a CMMS is traditionally an application that was geared to a single site or single plant install, where enterprise implies that one application can be shared across many locations, multiple geographies, and many different types of scenarios for setting up, you know, a model of assets that define your enterprise. So a big change as these products have evolved from CMMS to EAM is certainly to be able to cover all business units and all divisions. And then the asset component. Historically, especially in oil and gas, if you look at upstream, downstream, midstream, different types of assets, you know, you've got pipeline assets, you've got offshore platforms, you've got subsea equipment, you've got onshore, you know, drilling platforms, you got refined, you know, you got plant environments, and in some cases you got some vehicle fleets or you've got ships. And historically, there have been different CMMS or EAM solutions for every one of those different types of assets. Another thing we've seen in our industry is a mass amount of consolidation of different companies, you know, buying other companies, either getting deeper in a particular segment or becoming more of an integrated oil company where you've got operations in each segment. The point is that over time what you've seen is each of those assets or regions or geographies all had their different EAM systems and different ones for managing different assets. So what we've seen is an evolution to being able to get one application that manages multiple types of assets. So, again, linear assets, plant assets, vehicle assets, ships in one system. And that's a key thing there to think about for Maximo product is the asset class around IT assets and IT equipment, servers, hardware, routers, software that sits on those machines, PC devices, laptops. Those are assets that Maximo can also manage. Now, you know, it certainly is a differentiator for us, and I'm not sure if I've come across a sales cycle that's allowed us to use that as a key reason why they choose us over others, but you should definitely mention it in your sales cycle. So think about this a little bit. you know, our competition from the ERPs, they cannot manage IT assets. So when the CIO or the CFO says, why don't you use SAP to manage your plants, what we ought to have been positioned is, well, have the CIO manage the IT infrastructure, right, with SAP or Oracle. They can't do it. Whereas Maximo can manage both the IT assets as well as the, you know, the physical assets that are closer to our heritage. And then the last piece here is management. And, you know, all these assets in an enterprise have multiple different types of business processes, you know, including work, including construction, including purchasing, supply chain, you know, including, you know, management of change, incidents and health and safety business processes. And essentially what EAM is proposing is that one solution across all these assets and all those business processes tied in a single application. So when you look at an asset-intensive industry like oil and gas, you know, this is a critical application to help them best optimize their single largest investment, which is in their plant, property, and equipment. Why don't we go on to slide four, which is a brief slide, 50,000-foot level that sort of describes three of the key segments in the industry. And it's very important prior to going into talking to a prospect or customer is making sure you understand where in this value stream they operate their business. You'll find many that operate in all three segments. You'll find some operating in very small parts of these segments. And I guess a couple points here before I move on. Each of these segments, some of them have common business drivers or challenges in each of the segments. Like aging workforce is an issue with every one of these segments. Each segment also is exposed to significant health, safety, and regulatory permitting and regulatory compliance types of business processes. The regulations are different based on each segment, largely. Some are common, but again, the regulatory issues is relevant to each one. As a recommendation in terms of selling, the money being spent, right, follow the money. Any good sales guy is trying to understand where money's being spent in the industry and maybe going after that part to help get the budget or funding to, you know, secure a software buy. The upstream is absolutely in this industry where money is being spent. And 60 to 70% of capital, CapEx dollars in the industry are being spent upstream. Although the price of oil has been steadily, you know, slowly actually increasing, I think we're, you know, in the low 80s now over the past year, the refining segment has taken a terrible, terrible hit. So I don't know if we're going to see a lot. It may change things. You know, the price is increasing, so it's going to get a little bit of relief. But this past year, that the whole downstream segment has really been crunched terribly. I know one of our larger refining customers in the U.S. is down revenues 86% year over year, as an example. So that segment may not be spending too much this year. So I definitely would provide some guidance here to maybe focus a little bit more on exploration and production and even the midstream segments of our oil and gas industry. Let's go ahead to the next slide. And these are just some high level. I could do a, you know, if it makes sense for you guys, I'll absolutely do this. But I could probably do one of these webinars for every one of these industry drivers so you really understand what this driver means, how you can position around it in your sales cycle, that sort of thing. We don't have time on this call to go through every one, but I do want to at least pull out a couple of the high-level ones. We've already talked about the oil and gas industry is by a factor of two more asset-intensive than any other industry in the world. So, again, the fact that its characteristics are a lot of assets, a lot of risk, high dollars, expenditures associated with these assets. If we can help these clients better manage them and better know where they are, how they're performing, and get them to last one, two, three, maybe four, 5 more years because they're better maintained, can contribute significantly to their bottom line. So you know, talking about, you know, extending the life of assets and postponing capital investment is one we try to talk to clients quite a bit about. the demand shift, again, I think something that we can't necessarily control, but if you look at the BRIC countries in terms of energy demand, you know, it's those countries where their economies are growing faster than others, but not necessarily where the natural resources are. However, it does look like a lot of those BRIC countries is where the newer oil and gas infrastructure in terms of downstream is being built. But obviously, the upstream piece, you've got to go where the reserves are. So you're seeing, you know, folks trying to leverage more out of existing reserves in, say, like the Gulf of Mexico, in the North Sea. But you're also seeing some new finds and focus areas around natural gas, some big finds we found in recently, I think, in Latin America, also in the Gulf of Mexico, and in Australia around LNG facilities. I think volatile demand spikes been up and down, and again, this industry has been challenged with, you know, if you think about it, if you were going to try to make a personal investment on your behalf and be challenged to know whether or not where to make that investment, if you look at the oil and gas industry, because it's been so volatile, it's extremely difficult for, you know, the CFO or for the leadership in these companies to know where to make their investments, and will they recover those investments over, you know, a 15-20 year period. So depending on the price of oil is the answer to that question. And given that price of oil is largely, you know, a result of commodities market, it's very difficult for some of these folks to understand where they can, you know, make the right investments. There's been a big shift also to, you know, nationalizing, you know, energy policy or nationalized oil companies. That has a big impact on the industry. If you look at it, a lot of the integrated oil companies like an ExxonMobil, a Shell, a BP, a Chevron, those companies have the long heritage of experienced resources in the industry. And, you know, in the 80s and early 90s, they owned probably 75% of the known oil reserves worldwide. Now, into the, you know, the 2010 timeframe, they own less than 20%. And that has transferred to these national oil companies. Well, the national oil companies don't have that long and rich history of operating, you know, exploring and working in an industry. So there's that skills gap that we see. And of course, we've all talked about aging workforce is another key one that we talk to and talk about. I've got more in this deck about it. I won't expand on that more here. In fact, I probably should just run on to the next slide. But again, if you guys feel it would help you better understand how to position around these issues, let me know. I can expand on every one of these and give you some better ideas on how to talk to your clients about them. On slide six, these ones are the ones that, you know, again, I mentioned briefly on the last slide, but here's where you can really focus, and they're a bit more geared up and downstream. I can also add some here to midstream for those that are interested. Some of these issues apply to each one, but in the upstream market, it's about oil recovery, right? They know where the oil is or know where the gas is. You know, typically, you know, the industry has been known to get about a third of that energy or hydrocarbon out of those reserves. So a very small increase in productivity around those reserves is a tremendous impact on the industry in terms of supply. But there have been issues associated with that, and, you know, now we're seeing where oil and gas companies have to move further and further offshore or more remote areas, environmentally challenged areas in areas of the world that, in terms of security, are also very challenged, terrorism, for example. So, again, upstream, you do still run into those challenges, but if we can find ways that we can help our clients better manage the asset infrastructure in those areas, you know, the more successful we're going to be in position of software. In the downstream segment, it's you know, the increasing demand now, certainly not surging now, right? With the global recession, the demand for energy has slowed down. I don't think anyone's expecting that to be a long-term trend. And then as soon as it starts to increase again, despite some additional investment in the last few years with refining capacity, particularly in areas like the Middle East and India, we will soon run into a capacity issue again. So operating margin downstream is another real big one, right? You know, this is about working smart. So if you want to tie this into a smarter planet type of theme, you know, operating margins are, how do I work smarter, you know, do the right work at the right time with the right resources and reduce the cost for me to provide services around maintaining these assets, which has improved my margin. In a downstream environment, that's extremely strong value prop if you can focus in there, especially on what we can do maybe over our competition. Environmental is an issue in both segments. I've highlighted here downstream, but certainly an issue upstream too. And, you know, this is an exponential growth area. I see more and more of our customers talking about issues around environmental, health, safety types of issues, and the oil and gas solution that we have helps us address those issues in many ways. We're not quite there yet in a full HSS&E type of application, but our clients are using us for that product because it makes good sense. And when I say that, I mean the health, safety, environmental-related issues fundamentally occur in working locations, you know, doing work. Well, that's exactly what an EAM solution is, right? It's about defending your assets and your locations, the operating hazards, and the work that goes on in those locations. So all the data, the characteristics associated with the work in those locations already in your EAM system, why have and why add on an additional system that you need to copy that information over and have another redundant data store to start managing health and safety? So, again, we're not, you know, a full HSC solution there yet, but, again, our customers are taking us there. Some are using us or have been using us for many years in that capacity. So it's a very natural progression for us to get pulled into that direction even further. I talked about the others really in here already, but, again, if it makes sense for me to expand on any of these, please reach out to me. You know, I can put some recordings together on every one of these to help expand and give you better information to, again, position with your client. I may move a little bit quicker here because I'm afraid, you know, I've got about 30 minutes here to wrap up and I've got several more slides. Slide 7 is, again, I mentioned this earlier, asset management is one of three key areas that the IBM leadership for the chemical petroleum industry is focused on. Inside of IBM, our business in oil and gas represents about a $2 billion year-over-year business, and we are one of the three key offerings. So, again, Maximo is the cornerstone there. If you look at the others, Enhanced E&P, we help support that. It's certainly not called out here in this slide like asset management is, but Maximo is actually a piece, a component of both those other two. So global operations, same thing, risk and supply chain capabilities. Maximo can serve all three of these, but obviously we're very well positioned as we're called out under asset management. Slide 8, this is a slide that's been assembled over time that we would use, you know, sort of a summary slide in a client presentation that sort of talks through some of the highlights, and I'll go through it quickly, but it gives you a sense of the customers, users, our presence, some of the key name customers in the bottom left there. The point there to get across is that our application serves every segment of the industry, and we've got, you know, strong brand, strong client representation in each of those segments. Upper right corner there are really sort of the top five reasons why customers choose Maximo over our competition. You know, I won't go through those. You guys can read that at leisure. And then down at the bottom, just highlighting the point that we came out with a new release for those that aren't aware, 7.11 Maximo Oil and Gas came out, I think it was December 15th or December 18th, just last month. And I've highlighted there some of the critical applications around risk, integrated operations, safety, and reliability or add into this additional release. So, again, I'll probably reflect a little bit more about that at the end of the presentation. For those of you that really want to get into the details of application by application, send me a note or I can provide you guidance where the detailed slideware is on the entire release. Let's see here. Slide 9, if you guys can move forward, you know, this represents data from ARC. You've got to be extremely careful. This is not meant to be shared, or if you do share it, you have to share the full presentation. There's actually restrictions of usage of this data. I can guide you to where the ARC report is, and at that point, they'll give you the instructions on how you can actually use that report. I'm just pulling it out here just to again, emphasize our leadership position in the industry. I think many of us hear time over time how well SAP is positioned in the industry. And, you know, I'm quite frankly, I'm not sure how much due diligence the actual analysts have done to confirm whether or not, just because a client is an SAP customer, it doesn't mean they're using SAP PM, you know, for work and asset management. So, you know, ARC is one of the only analysts that I've seen really does a thorough or a deep dive onto some of this data. They do it by geography. They do it by industry. They do it by services and software. You know, if you look at folks like Gartner, they lump oil and gas industry into a generic quadrant called manufacturing. And it's very hard to discern different industries as well as discrete from process manufacturing. So anyway, this is something that all the Maximo sellers globally, you know, should be proud of for those that have contributed to these numbers. And we should be able to use this kind of data to help, you know, further us in our sales situation. Slide 10, the next three or four slides I'm using to build a story. And this story is really around a trend that we see in the industry around a concept called integrated operations. And integrated operations is absolutely something that IBM's got some thought leadership on and is really pushing the envelope to communicate to the market, you know, our contribution or our point of view around integrated operations. And it's a broader perspective than just maintenance. And I want to provide a few slides here to give you some background on it, because it's very important, I believe, for all of us to understand what integrated operations means, because it's a key differentiator for us in our product set. So, you know, the first slide here just shows, you know, obviously Exxon, BP, and Chevron are three of the independent majors globally. But if you go to any oil and gas company, their website or the annual report or whatever their, you know, their key market-facing documentation are, every one of them, not far from the number one issue, the number one thing they talk about is around safety and reliability. There's research out there that shows you that unreliable equipment or unreliable operations leads to many safety types of issues. So they're very highly correlated, safety and reliability components. But again, you know, all the way up to the executives, they're all talking about it. The key issue is to find those companies that really, really believe and really are doing what they can to really honestly deliver this. Some folks just market this, but behind the scenes are just doing status quo kind of stuff and not really driving towards it. I think overall, obviously, the industry does, but you're going to find individual companies necessarily, you know, aren't doing the right things. And to me, those are the kinds of targets and prospects you should avoid. They're more likely to go with a cheap solution or with an ERP solution. You want to find the ones that are passionate about and sincerely believe that, you know, their people are their number one asset, and they really want to make sure those folks have the best tools to be safe, reliable, and optimize that investment and asset. So anyway, you know, I recommend you know, when you're doing your research, go and talk to your customers, do a little bit, find out where their priorities around, look at their performance around some of these issues, and improve some of the content you have to talk to them on. And the next slide 11, is a white paper done by IBM. And again, it's a good read if you guys can find it. It's on the Maximo Oil and Gas Wiki, or it's on the CMP Community Wiki. If you don't know where it is, I can guide it to you at the end of the slide and provide you some links where you can find it. But essentially, you know, it was assembled through some interviews and surveys with industry executives. And basically, what the industry really wants to be able to do is, you know, the smoke before the fire, right, is really what the theme of this is. They want to see and identify risk and problem areas in their infrastructure anywhere in the world before the major incident occurs, right? So they're very much about trying to focus on being proactive. They're trying to look at leading indicators, not lagging indicators, to find those troubled problem areas, again, before the fire. So, again, it's good read, and I think it gives you, again, some more background. It's a good piece of material that you can leave behind with your client to hopefully give us a little bit more credibility in showing the customer that we understand their challenges. On slide 12, I'm just highlighting a key, you know, event an incident that occurred in our industry in 2005. And typically what happens in, you know, unfortunately, is that these major incidents are what really forces the industry to take a step back and really review their processes, procedures. Regulators get involved in a very significant way. They add to the already burdensome regulatory process and add additional regulations. You know, investigations occur. But this Texas City incident is just one of those incidents, right? They lost 15 people, injured more than 170 people. And again, it's an incident in the industry that when these occur, you can expect for 1 to 2, sometimes 3 years after the incident, that many conference materials, you know, talk to these types of incidents and lessons learned from them and the impact that incident has had on the industry, et cetera, et cetera. As it turns out, this particular one was extremely damaging to BP in terms of their market, you know, cap and the overall cost. It's very hard to, I think, really assess. I've heard numbers well north of $1 billion of real loss to the client, not including some of the lawsuits associated to the families that lost lives here. I'm not bringing this up, and it's very careful. All of us need to be very sensitive. It's not you're not ambulance chasing, right? You're not taking this type of material and putting it right in the forefront of your customer and saying, look, we can help solve this problem. I'm sharing this with you to give you a sense of these types of events and what they've done to the industry in terms of a heightened awareness for folks to work smarter, work safer, work reliable, more reliably. And that's where Maximo can shine. So, again, you know, I caution any of you, you don't go in there and lead with these types of slides. I'm only presenting them here is that this is really what can help differentiate Maximo from our competition. Just a couple more slides on this, really. Slide 13 is another, and this is probably a more famous incident. It's not as recent as Texas City, but there's been several books that have been written on Piper Alpha, and this is the most significant offshore incident that's occurred in the industry, occurred in 1988. I have actually read a couple books on this. If you're interested, I can give you some of the titles. Fascinating books sort of walk through the unfortunate the night that this event occurred, and with some of the folks that actually survived. But again, 167 men, you know, had lost their lives out at sea during this event. And is again, is kind of like a torch with thousands of pressure of oil and gas being forced into this area where there was an existing fire. And you know, if you look at some of the root cause associated with this, is around safety, is around management change, is around shift handover. Which are the exact applications that are in the Maximo oil and gas solution in an integrated way that helps clients prevent these types of incidents occurring in the first place. But again, I'm not bringing this up. You should be aware. If you're selling in this industry, you should be aware of the Piper Alpha incident. You should be aware of the Texas City incident, only because it's those types of events, although unfortunate as they are, have really forced this industry to, again, every customer responds in a different way, but taking a step back and really reviewing, are they doing the absolute best that they can in terms of making sure they've provided a safe and reliable working environment for their contractors, for their employers, et cetera. If we go on to slide 14, I just want to emphasize, if you look at Texas City that occurred, you know, now almost, you know, 4.5 years ago, if you look at Piper Alpha that occurred in 1988, this slide is telling you, guys, this is happening every day. Okay, so think about that. All the oil and gas facilities, twofold, by a factor of two, has more assets than any other industry in the world, and these incidents are occurring every day. Now, not the significant level or magnitude, if you will, or consequence as Piper Alpha and Texas City, but they are occurring every day. You can go out to Google, just do a search on oil and gas explosion, look at the imagery. You can search for last week, last month, and you will find an incident. I guarantee it. And two dynamics that are coming together that unfortunately I'm not sure, you know, this is going to go away anytime soon is the aging workforce, right? So less and less experienced people are going to operate these assets. And then the second issue is the aging infrastructure, right? Especially in the refining space, people aren't building a lot of new refineries. Now, they have to upgrade them to meet the more strict, you know, environmental regulations. But there's a lot of very old assets out there and younger people going to be operating those. Those two dynamics alone put a lot of pressure around this type of issue. So, again, our clients, the industry, they've got to work smarter. And, again, I think you can tie this very well into a smarter planet theme. And that's the guidance I give you on these last four or five slides is that's where Maximo shines, and you'll see that here in a second. On slide 15, I sort of, you know, these slides that I've talked about here sort of culminate into, you know, what I'm saying that these events and the associated pressures that's related, again, aging workforce and aging infrastructure around integrated operations. And you can Google this or Wikipedia this as well. But, again, it's about the industry or companies finding smarter ways to do work. And there's examples of, you know, IBM helping Statoil Hydro is one, where they're managing many, I think it's close to 40 offshore platforms in the North Sea. And Statoil Hydro wants to reduce significantly the amount of humans required to actually be on those platforms to run, manage, and maintain them. Now, to do that, they have to have very good knowledge of how those assets are performing on a remote basis. So they have to do that on shore. But if you look at every one of those platforms, everyone has, they have different systems, different technology, different age, different history, different performance. So it's very difficult for someone in a centralized fashion to be able to look across 40 of those platforms and really understand that. So IBM's helped Statoil Hydro in a significant way in helping them enable that, a centralized data center that allows them to reduce the manpower, the human manpower required to actually be on those platforms. And that's certainly a trend in the industry because, you know, transporting, you know, laborers from onshore to offshore and, you know, working on those in those harsh environments are a cause in a large way of the incidents that occur with injuries and deaths on those platforms. So if they can reduce the amount of human manpower required to be there and sort of remotely manage these in a way, helps them really improve their safety and reliability performance. That requires a whole lot of telecommunications infrastructure. It requires a whole lot of sensors and monitors on the equipment, video surveillance as well. You know, you're never going to get away with putting people out there permanently, but the industry is really trying to do what it can to leverage technology in ways to help reduce it. And, you know, Maximo is not the only solution there. There's many other products in the software group stack that would be required to enable this, but certainly Maximo can be a key part. But anyway, integrated operations is sort of a new renaissance in the industry. But integrated operations also requires a higher level of coordination across typically, you know, siloed roles. When I say that, I'm talking about operations, maintenance, engineering, and health, safety, and environmental types of resources. Typically, those four groups have operated in silos with different applications and different systems. A lot of those systems and data is redundant, and you know, there's always a question about whose data is correct, whose isn't, finger pointing. The truth is, if these folks are going to work smarter and work in a integrated way, Maximo can help out significantly. And that's really the direction that the industry and our customers have taken our product away from the traditional maintenance person into operations primarily, but also engineering and health and safety. So you really need to understand that. And that's really what I say when we're talking about integrated operations. You need to understand that because it's that collaborative environment that Maximo enables is truly what allows us to differentiate absolutely from the best of breeds, the others that are out there, but also from the ERP vendors. The ERP vendors may have some of those capabilities to address each of those four groups, but they're typically not very well integrated applications. And even the analysts are pointing that out. If I go to the next slide, slide 16 is an updated high-level positioning slide. And if you look at I guess the consider that a pie in the middle. The piece of the pie that's between, let's say, 10 and noon is operations. All those other pieces of the pie are the same for every other industry solution and product that we've got. The oil and gas solutions, I'm pretty sure, is the only one that really addresses that piece of the slice. So many, if not the majority, 70% maybe, 75% of the applications in the oil and gas solution are geared to that audience. Okay? Now, this is very important to understand, and I'm going to bring it up in a pricing discussion here in a second. But, again, this is a good slide to use if you want to talk to the client about the high-level capabilities in the product, again, from work, service, contracts, materials, procurement, assets, also operations. And that is, again, a key differentiator for us over all of our competitors. So what you really want to do is find out the pain points that our solution can address by that piece of the pie, the piece that's related to operations. The next slide, slide 17, those are representative applications that fit into that piece. Now, some of these you could argue go into maybe assets or into a service, but most of these applications are really owned traditionally in the oil and gas industry by folks that are in the operations area. So I've updated this a bit. I've added three of probably the most significant applications in the latest release at the bottom of this slide. Control of work, the MIMOSA, sort of a standards-based integration. That integration is actually what's required to do what I mentioned about Statoil Hydro. If I want to get real-time events, from a control system, from a SCADA network, or from a historian and generate a notification to do work, or raise an incident, a defect, maybe simply just record meters against an asset that would drive a PM program, for example. The way to do that most efficiently is through a standards-based interface, and there's a group that's built these standards called MIMOSA that we are now compliant with. So a very significant investment for us, and again, a great way to differentiate. I think SAP claims to do this. Our data shows that they have not done this. They sit on a board role as part of the MIMOSA group, but in the conferences we've been to where we've showed demonstrable capabilities and SAP's been there or they haven't been there gives us indication they have not done that yet. Risk management, again, big piece of what we've done, given our clients the ability to do, consequence, probability and consequence types of analysis against locations, against work, job plans, management change requests, and incidents. So, again, being able to apply risk, this falls into some of the PAS 55 stuff you may have seen your customers talk about, but the industry is absolutely trying. This is about working smarter, right? This is about identifying the key risks in my business, making sure I've got the right mitigating factors in place, make sure I've done the things that reduce the risk as best I can. Let me focus on those items that present my business with the biggest risk, get those out of the way first. So, again, a big piece about working smart is around, including characteristics of risk in some of the analysis that our clients are doing. Control of work was a big thing for BP Texas City. As a result of the investigation of a 200-page report there, one of the key summary findings is they did not have a very good process for managing and controlling work. So this is about being able to plan permits and certificates, against in the planning process. Now, our next release will actually include the ability to do permits and certificates in Maximo. Which, interestingly enough, at one time our clients were challenging us whether we should do that or not. Now we're actually getting validation that we should. A few more slides here, and I'm going to wrap up. I'm try to open up here. I'm going to run long. I see that already. But I do want to open this up to see if there are any questions that are out there. I think at this point I want to make sure I go through slide 18. Last couple slides I can just leave for you guys to read at your own leisure. But the pricing slide, I think, for me is extremely important, and I'll tell you why. I've come across many Maximo sellers, maybe not, in certain regions that haven't been the most experienced sellers, maybe they've just picked up EAM in their sales bag, whatever, it doesn't matter. But they've been reluctant to position the oil and gas solution. And it's either, what I can assess from my interviews with these folks, it's either, one, they feel the price is too high, two, they can't convey the value. So, again, we're trying to do things to give you guys more information to understand the industry challenge, these applications, and how they support addressing those challenges. And but I will admit that the pricing model is a bit challenging, and for many reasons. And one of them, you know, could just shifts, right? Certainly in an offshore world, many of our customers work in different shifts, so they're more attracted to a concurrent pricing model. Well, we don't do that. But I will say this, that for you know, certainly all of our larger deals, you know, pricing has not been an issue. We just have to get probably more aggressive on discounting that we like to. So I'm going to walk through this really quickly. If you look at the first column here, and this is about understanding the audience, right? If you're going to sell to an existing Maximo customer, they may not have the oil and gas solution, or you want to get them to move to version 7, maybe move from the Maximo core product to the industry solution, whatever. You can't sell this solution just to maintenance, okay? You need to include folks largely from operations, hopefully some folks from engineering, particularly those that are, you know, reliability focused, and then also those that are responsible for health and safety around things like incident management, investigations, those sorts of things. But the first column just represents sort of the core price. Those are list prices in U.S. dollars, and the size of those rectangles represents sort of the proportionate value of the applications together. So, again, you can see the Maximo core is about, at least two-thirds, if not 75% of the overall price. Then you've got the Maximo $895 add-on there. These were 2009 prices, by the way. I should update them. The next four columns represent different roles that should find relevance to the applications in the oil and gas solution. So if you go first column, maintenance, if you look at the orange overlay there, that orange overlay represents of the combined applications that are in the core product for Maximo and in the oil and gas solution, you can see not all of the oil and gas industry solution applications are important or even relevant to someone in maintenance, right? In this slide, it shows that only about a third of them are actually important to someone in maintenance. You go to the next role-based individual, the operations people, you can see a large part, in fact, you know, probably 75% of the oil and gas solution is absolutely relevant to folks in operations, but also some of the core, but not all the core. So it's not really fair to charge a person that's in a role of operations, you know, the full price for the maximal core when really only about a third of it really applies to the role, right? And go to the next one. You've got engineering. Again, a little bit less of the maximal oil and gas solution and a little bit less of the core is relevant to someone in an engineering role. Largely, these engineers, these are folks that are in a reliability-based role, but also maybe some that are responsible for management change, particularly mechanical integrity changes, right? You're changing, you're upgrading some of the actual equipment. They would go into maximal, look at the history, performance of equipment, defects, maybe come up with projects or recommendations to replace certain problem areas or bad actors with newer equipment. Again, you know, if you look at that, that's suggesting probably 80% of the core maximal product is not relevant to an engineer. But yet, our pricing model suggests we're charging the engineer in the full price, you know, in this case the list price for the core plus the industry solution. So again, you go to the HSC, we get even less, right? And that's going to change over time. I really believe, you know, our clients are demanding more HSC capability, but you can see there a small percentage, you know, maybe a third, 25% to a third of the oil and gas solutions relevant to HSC. That's primarily incident management, regulatory compliance, and, you know, action reviews and compliance, and maybe some of the management change pieces. And then, again, the core that would be relevant to HSC are things like, you know, your location, hierarchy. That's certainly relevant to all these players. And some of the asset or location types of information, such as regulatory regulations tied to those assets, that sort of thing. So, again, the issue we've got, if you look at the last column there, represents volume. Volume, I mean, you know, typically, you know, if you took, you know, 100 people in oil and gas, you know, part of a segment or business someplace, 25 of those would be maintenance, 50% of those people would be operations people, 15% of those, 15 of them would be engineers, and 10 of those would be HSE types of people. So really our upside opportunity for Maximo, because historically we've always sold the maintenance, our real upside is that operations group, right? They're double the size of the user class that we have historically seen, right? But yet, if you look at the price for operations, only about 50%. If you look at the overall white space for operations versus the orange space for operations, only about 50% of that list price is really relevant for operations. And remember, that's list price. That's starting point for negotiation. So, again, the point I'm highlighting here is, you know, we are trying to look at different ways we can adjust the pricing model. But if we make it unique to oil and gas, it makes the overall pricing model across different solutions a bit more complex. And some of our sellers out there aren't selling just oil and gas, right? They're selling multiple industry solutions. So the idea and strategy is to try to keep the model relatively the same across each of the industry solutions. But my point here is that the audience makes a huge difference. And if you're going to sell the oil and gas solution, you absolutely have to bring operations people into the discussion. And, oh, by the way, many of those four pillars, typically all, maybe not HSC completely, but mostly the first three roll up to the same person. So this allows you to get higher in the organization to talk about more strategic value and bigger business issues than just maintenance. So anyway, that's enough I want to say on the pricing model. Again, if there's any question at all, whether, you know, I don't want a single seller in 2010 to sell, you know, Core Maximo to an oil and gas client without really knowing why did you not position oil and gas solutions. So if you don't know how, if you're confused on how, if you can't do it, I want to get a call. I want to talk you through this and make sure that you're positioning the industry solution, because, again, if you're not, you're leaving money on the table for sure, but then you're also going to be challenged later when it comes to competition, either best of breed on a price basis like a data stream or with ERP. It's these applications in here that what makes us different. It's what allows us to have a higher price, a premium, maybe not as high as some of the model talks about. But anyway, enough on that slide. Slide 19, again, I'm not going to go through these, all of them. You can read them at your leisure. You know, the key differences between us and Maximo, I'll highlight just a few. SAP has an industry solution for oil and gas, but its EAM solution, SAP PM, is horizontal. That means it's the same solutions sold across every industry. Now, I've heard that they might be trying to do some packaging differences, but again, it's the same product that they would sell to a retail manufacturer, a retail distributor, as they would sell to oil and gas. We have a specific solution for their industry. If you look at in terms of feature function product, most, if not all, of those applications in the industry solution, we don't believe, based on our current intelligence, SAP has those, although we have seen some data in conference material information that suggests that they are doing some things around management change. They have acquired some assets from Technidata to do more HSE capabilities rather than have to partner with Technidata. But many of those other applications they do not have. One of the issues that one of the analysts has reported against SAP is that their work management solution is not integrated to their incident management or management change solution, which ours is, and there's a tremendous benefit and amount of value of having those being integrated. So those are just some. You know, we've got an industry council, so does an SAP. Obviously, our council is focused only on asset management. Their council is focused on the entire footprint for SAP. Our user group is focused only, you know, on oil and gas. We've got obviously a Maximo-centric sort of a horizontal user group, but we also have a user group focused specifically in oil and gas. I know Oracle doesn't have. Oracle's only started an EAM conference the last couple of years. In fact, SAP as well. SAP historically has not had an EAM conference or focus. They started to about 2 years ago. off the company called Eventure that was acquired by PwC. I guess enough here. You know, you see the one note in there on linear modeling. Again, very important for probably a pipeline company. You want to try to neutralize very, very quickly, right? You know, maybe in the early 90s, you know, integration of applications was a major challenge. Well, if you think about it, all the those project managers and developers at that time have hopefully been promoted, and that they're directors or they're higher level in the IT organization, but they remember that decade of a lot of pain with doing integration. Well, you know, technology has advanced considerably in terms of the ability to get these applications to talk to each other. And IBM has made a very significant investment in managing our integration with ERP, because this issue comes up in every single sales cycle. We understand the pain our customers have with integration. We've tried to make that a lot easier by providing, you know, adapters for SAP. So, I mean, I like to try to position a complementary solution with our customers, with their ERP. But to truly position it in a complementary fashion, the other vendor needs to support it. And I don't think SAP is doing that today, or Oracle, right? They're certainly competing against us. So anyway, you can take a look at that, again, at your leisure. If you have any questions, additional points, don't hesitate to contact me. Slide 20, you know, I get these requests every week, you know, every day, every other day, about how to better compete with ERP. And the truth is, many of the requests that people are asking for in terms of case studies, references, functionality, comparisons, feature function, blah, you know, all that stuff, it's absolutely irrelevant if we're not talking with the right people. You need a coach. You think about this, right? You know, the ERP vendors have likely been there for many years already. They've got contacts in the organization. You know, they've got coaches in the organization. And if you're selling against those and you're not getting a strong coach in a senior position in operations, if you had all those materials you've been asking for, they're going to be worthless unless you can get them to the right person. So I challenge everybody to do your absolutely, you know, best soul searching on whether you should pursue any deal where you don't have that coach at a high level. And every one of us should challenge ourselves to really think through what's the best way. You know, I'm IBM, I'm part of IBM, 400,000 people. How can I leverage, you know, IBM's brand or IBM's executives to get me at a higher level in this organization? And it's a bit of a challenge because, obviously, IBM is very well known in the IT space, but not really known that well in the operations space. So I understand those challenges, but you have to do everything you can to leverage other executives in your region, in your brand, in S&D, client exec, whatever, to get a key executive in there to help you build coaches and break down some of these barriers to get you support that you'll need to eventually overcome the objection from the CIO or the CFO on, you know, why not ERP. I guess the objections, the last four slides there, top four objections, I'm not going to go through those. I've got some pretty good detailed notes in here how to position against those objections. Very common that we see these, and you need to be proactive, understand these, so you can counter those, hopefully before the competition's already laid the mines. If we advance to slide 26, just following the last objection, you'll see the current release content. Again, you know, 7.1.1 came out in December. There's the applications that are listed there. Russell B. has already assembled a very detailed slide deck on all the gray applications. Again, 7.1.0 and 7.1.1 release has screenshots in it, and he's got the content there that describes the application, what it does, the use cases, et cetera. So, I'm working with a team to actually do mini recordings of every one of those applications, get those stored in a place that you guys can get to, and at your leisure, spend 15, 30 minutes per application to really get up the curve. I'm not going to go through those here, but the big ones I'll just mention briefly. Certainly the control of work, the permit certificate types. This is better planning, right? Planning, you know, the safety and the hazard types of issues in up front in the in the cycle to, you know, reduce those types of incidents that can occur. That's what those benefits are. Risk analysis and matrices, again, the ability to do risk assessments against four or five of the object types, like a location, like a work order or job plan. And so it's more apparent in actually doing the work, what the risk is associated, what precautions we're taking. It also helps down the road if an incident should occur or they're starting to occur, you can do the analysis to maybe apply risk assessments to other places that you may not have done previously. Operator's log's a big one. This typically is a very small number of users that would use the application, but remember the Piper Alpha incident that I brought up in here earlier, reading some of the literature on that incident, the big issue was a very poor transition of a shift changeover where some work was occurring. I believe it was on a valve, and that work had not finished, and the contractor sort of realized they couldn't finish it that day, tried to temporarily shut off that valve, and that was actually the root cause of the actual incident. And folks in the different shift came in hadn't even realized that work was still outstanding. They didn't know the status or what had happened. So, again, operator's log is a very important application to the industry. It's a niche application typically sold by some niche vendors, very expensive. So, again, a key way to help differentiate. The other key one here really is the IIF integration here. That's the Mimosa piece that I mentioned earlier. And it's that type of integration that really helps us enable some of the technology-based integrated operations requirements, right? How do I get real-time or near real-time, performance data, being able to compare that against design and take action and raise events from the equipment itself based on control systems, sensors, actuators, that sort of thing. I will go to slide 27 and slide 28, really. Are two reference slides. That link there gets you down to the sales kit. Some of the documentation I refer to on this call can be found there. If you don't find something that you need, I need to know about it. Again, you guys are my customers. I do my best to either find the right person that can put the content together or I do it myself. And this year I'm really focused on trying to improve that sales kit. So any feedback on what's missing, what's good, what's outdated, what you need, I need to know about it, else I can't update that sales kit. So please review that, get out to it. If I do any significant posting to it, I'll do my normal broadcast to our selling community to guide you guys out to that site. At this point, I guess, I know I am over here. We started about 5 minutes late, so I'm actually about 3 minutes over. I'd like to open it up. I know we don't have a lot of people on the call, but there are folks that do have some questions. I'd like to address those if I could.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
This is fine. If there are no questions, again, the recording will be available. People can download. They've got my email at any time. They can reach out to me. I'd be glad to support them.
And I did just have a question come up from Jim. Your line is open.
Hello, Bill. Thank you.
Hey.
For the presentation. It's very good. I have a question on the page 20.
You okay?
We had three big wins in 2009.
Yeah.
My question to you is, do you have detailed information that you can provide to me? I would like to first, can we share this with the field? Or is it possible if you have three?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was really involved in Baker Hughes specifically. BG Group I supported remotely. In Petrobras, our Latin American team did that primarily on their own. And just a brief highlight, I can tell you that the Baker Hughes deal, again, they're an oil field services company. What was really interesting there is that what they are trying to do in their business is provide drilling performance guarantees. Right, now think about that, right? These guys provide drilling equipment to the industry. They and they record a lot of reliability information against that drilling equipment. Some of that drilling equipment has they have sensors on them, controls. These are intelligent drilling systems, directional drilling. They also have drill bits and pumps and other ancillary devices. They also have some chemicals to help with the mudding process in drilling. But essentially what Baker Hughes wants to do competitively against its competition is to be able to enter contracts with its customers that guarantees drilling performance. Essentially what that means is if the rig is down, Baker Hughes pays. If the drilling platform is up and running, Baker Hughes makes money. So, to be able to make those kind of contracts, Baker Hughes needs an extremely large amount of performance data, how they're performing in the field. And what Baker's done traditionally is built these applications over the past two or three decades. So they've really had a very large internal software development capability, and they've never had a CIO, right? The CIO that they have today is their first CIO. And this person's come in and recognized, hey, look, we are not a software development company. That is not our core competence. We need to move away from, custom-developed software. However, to be competitive in what we do, we need best-of-breed functionality. So we really played off that to beat SAP in this environment. But I'll get you a detailed plan. In fact, what I wanted to try to do this quarter and the front end of this quarter is to do a webcast on each of these, and I will do that, okay?
Thank you.
That's my promise to you. I've got a whole bunch of detailed slides. Just real quickly, I can talk about the BG Group, again, a big SAP win for us, a very, very excruciating amount of detail that client went through to evaluate us against SAP. And they had both SAP PM in certain locations. They had Maximo in a couple other smaller locations. But BG Group, on an enterprise scale, globally, has chosen Maximo as the standard. And very good win for us, highly competitive. We got some decent pricing intelligence out of that sales cycle that we can share. Simon Rothwell out of UK led that sales team. Andy Taylor, the client executive, extremely good job there. Each of these deals, on Petrobras, let me just point I'll bring up there. What's interesting on Petrobras is also, again, a big, very big SAP customer and also SAP PM. Our entry point at Petrobras is really in the construction side. They're using Maximo in ways to help manage the construction of new oil and gas assets for Petrobras. And I've seen some customers of ours do that in the Middle East. I know BP has done that in Angola, where they've used us for materials management, supply chain, and some of the work planning activities in the construction phase. So that was a great win for us. Hopefully gives us an opportunity to eventually get competitive and aggressive to replace SAP there. There are a few other sales cycles that I'm aware of that coming into 2010 give us a good opportunity to actually replace SAP. I have heard with some very large customers that they've come to the conclusion and agreement, and I don't know if I can say this is a trend as of yet, but, they have spent many, many millions of dollars on SAP and have come to the realization that it's not providing the data they need to get better and continuously improve their operations. So I'm seeing, data points like that. There's a BP refinery in Spain, I cannot remember the name, unfortunately, that went wall-to-wall SAP under the guidance of a program called Process Fitness. At one refinery, they spent $60 million to doing the process work and standardization and getting SAP standing up, and they were going to roll that out to all refineries for BP, and basically $60 million, they shut it down completely. So other BP refineries that are running Maximo today, most of them have been on version 4, specifically in Australia, they are upgrading the version 7. BP in the U.S. is right now we're in a sales cycle that we think we've convinced them to go to Maximo or continue to stay with Maximo, that is. So it's interesting where BP is, I think, been open to the market about SAP being their standard downstream, but there's five, I think, or maybe it's six now, refineries that they're not going to SAP. And I think there's many other examples like that where I think these clients have really run the gamut and tried to use SAP. The operations folks have finally got across to some of the IT or CFO people that they can't manage those assets with that. But I promise to you, I've taken a note, I will get detailed summaries here, and hopefully I can get the sales guys on a call. Maybe we can do all three of these, spend 20 minutes on each one in an hour. Maybe I can do that in early February would be my goal. But thanks for bringing that up. But the point is a good point. I mentioned to bring it. I'm glad you brought that question up. Good question. And I did mean to maybe cover those in a little bit more detail when I got to this slide, but I knew I was running out of time. So anyway, very good wins for us against SAP. Thanks for bringing that up, Jim. And again, I promise I'll get those. We'll get a session set up on those.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, very good. Again, thank all of you for attending. At any time, you're my customer. So if you need more materials, you need deeper, content, or you just need to talk through some things on your sales cycles, your strategy, how to better manage your territory, who to target, whatever, I'm here to support you. So don't hesitate to reach out to me, and I'll do the best I can. And again, thank you for your time. Talk to you guys soon. See you in the field.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.